Football.
It's the football, and sometimes other sports show. Here's your host, AJ Nicoletti.
What up? FFFSOSS.com. At FFFSOSS, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch.tv/AJNick3. On the show this Thursday, we're going to do who are the NCAA tournament one seeds. Couple of questions to answer in the kickoff, so we'll do that. Then we'll talk some college basketball conference tournaments and auto qualifiers. Then we'll do footy. Champions League round of 16 second legs are now done. So we have the eight teams headed to the quarterfinal draw on Friday. So look forward to that. You got a weekend soccer preview with the quarterfinal of the FA Cup splitting up the EPL. So some teams are going to have 2 weeks plus off because of the international break upcoming after this weekend. So you got a weekend soccer preview to look forward to. And then the golf is the Players this weekend, another ginormous field. So another great tournament there. Hopefully capitalize on one of their top guys, Scheffler, winning last week. Can they get another good field and a good tournament? Because last week was good with Scheffler, but it wasn't a great finish. You know, him shooting 66 on Sunday and putting everything in. So NFL, listen, there's a lot going on. I wasn't paying attention to the NFL. I didn't do the NFL. My bad. I'll do it next week or the week after. Like, I want to talk about college basketball. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about the NFL right now. Is that because the Cowboys have done nothing? Maybe. Possibly. You know, I'm upset about that when the owner says they're going all in and then doesn't do anything. But you know what? At this point of my fandom as being a Cowboy fan, Jerry's a liar. Okay? So I'm not talking about the NFL. All right? We're not doing it. So on the program this Thursday, who are the NCAA tournament one seeds? College basketball conference tournaments and auto qualifiers, Champions League round of 16 second legs, weekend soccer PU, and the Players Championship at the end of the program. Okay, kick it off. Who are the one seeds? It's two questions here because I think everybody has an idea of who the one seeds are for the most part, and it's really a few teams fighting for the last spot. But the first question is between UConn, Houston, and Purdue, those three being the three locks for one seeds, how do you order them? You know, who's the overall one? Who's not going to be in the region they want to be in, kind of a thing? So UConn, Houston, Purdue, out of those three locks for me, how do you sort them out is the first question. And then the second question is the remaining number one seed, Arizona, Tennessee, Carolina, those three schools fighting for that last spot. It was Arizona's when the committee revealed the seeding a few weeks ago now, a month and change possibly. Arizona had it. Tennessee's making a case. UNC's certainly making their case at the end of the season here. So those three schools, Arizona, Tennessee, UNC, are fighting for that last number one seed, the fourth one, whereas UConn, Houston, Purdue, the first question we're going to tackle here, they're the locks. Out of those three, how do you sort them? So let's look at these three schools' resumes. UConn, and all three of them are 28-3 as I record this, by the way, which is pretty cool. No offense to Falcons fans, sorry. 20 wins, 3 losses for the UConn Huskies, 11-3 in quad 1. I think that's really, really impressive. I think the three teams that we're talking about have really, really impressive quad 1 records, and Houston has a 13-3, and Purdue has an 11-3. So UConn and Purdue the same quad 1 record as well as the same overall record. Houston with two more quad 1 opportunities, and they won them. So give the Houston Cougars credit for that. But that's a lot of quad 1 games. You look at some of these other schools, you know, possibly 4-4. You know, these are a lot of games in quad 1. So give all three of these schools a ton of credit for scheduling, to be fair. So the UConn, for me, why I kind of lean them as the number one overall. And yes, Houston is playing the best league. And if it's not UConn, it's Houston for me. And I'm not trying to knock Purdue. It's just, it is what it is. And UConn, now, if Houston was 30-1, 31-0, something along those lines, where they had, you know, not just one fewer loss, right? Shout out Stannis, I think that's what it is, for my grammar people out there, my Game of Thrones people out there, fewer. Hopefully you get that joke. If a team was unbeaten, maybe they could have the lean over UConn, but UConn are the champs, and they deserve to be a one. So since they're the champs for me, and they deserve to be one, they're my number one overall. Now, Houston has the rankings and maybe the statistics to back it up, but UConn's the champ. Nobody really knocked them off. They're still fighting for a one seed, if not the overall one seed. They're a lock for a one seed, I should say. They're fighting for the number one overall. I would give it to UConn because they're the champs. Number three in the net, number three in the BPI, two in KenPom. Those are the three that I really like looking at because, one, the net is from the NCAA. BPI is pretty good, usually, and KenPom knows what he's doing. So UConn, the three losses, Kansas, Seton Hall in the league, Creighton in the league. They have not done well going to Creighton, to be fair, so that's nothing to sneeze at. And then the non-league wins, Texas, Carolina, Gonzaga, and that Kansas loss was a tough loss, but give them credit, they played Kansas. And that team with Newton coming back, Caravan coming back, Klingon ascending into a bigger role, Spencer coming in from Rutgers has been amazing, and he doesn't, you know, you don't lose anything with him defensively. He can guard the other team's shooter. He can run through screens. He steals the ball. He gets in a good guarding position. So, like, you're not losing anything with him defensively. And then Castle can score. Diarra can score. Johnson helps off the bench as well. So that is a unbelievably really talented UConn team that's gotten better and was the champion. So for me, they're my number one. Now, the case for Houston, a better overall quad one, and it's not really necessarily fair to UConn because they played two more games than them, but it's still like they won the game. So, you know, it is what it is. Houston's number one in the net, KenPom and the BPI, and it's the number one scoring defense teams. The losses are to Iowa State, TCU, and Kansas, all three in league. And the only real knock here that I can give Houston is, did they play the toughest out-of-conference schedule? They really didn't. They really didn't. And Cryer's been great since coming in from Baylor. Shedd and Sharp's been fantastic. Shedd is a great player. We know that. Robertson's been good. They have a lot of players for Coach Sampson. And the number one net, KenPom BPI, that's probably going to give them the number one overall seed. But for me, yes, they play in the best league. But I think you do have to schedule a little bit at a conference to be that number one overall seed. And honestly, Iowa State's a really good team. I don't think they're winning the Natty. TCU's fighting for it. Kansas is a little banged up. So those are the three legit losses in their league. It's the best league. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock the Big 12 or anything like that. But my point is, they came into the Big 12 and they didn't really schedule because they knew how tough it was going to be year one. Does that make sense? So I hope that like that point makes sense for you, because I'm not necessarily trying to knock them. I'm just trying to make the argument why I'm sliding UConn ahead. UConn at a league scheduled really well, and they play in a really good league. I understand it's not the old Big East where they're getting an 8-9 teams. I understand that. Okay, I get it. But they're the champ. They're a one seed. And Houston, though the rankings are there statistically, and they come from the best league, the point I'm held up on them when I'm looking at these teams and comparing these teams is non-league, they didn't really play a great schedule. So that's why I have UConn above them. Now, Purdue, two in the net, BPI, three in KenPom. Losses to Northwestern, Nebraska, Ohio State. So three in-league losses. Same identical record as UConn. The out-of-conference wins, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, Bama, Arizona. I mean, that's outstanding. That's outstanding scheduling and winning games like that. So you got to give them credit, the Purdue Boilermakers. And if UConn didn't exist, Houston versus Purdue would be a hell of a fight for the one overall. Truly. Because the Big Ten is historically a great league. Now, I know the middle of the pack and the bottom haven't been great, and you know, this Purdue team has a lot of question marks when it comes to March. I understand that with the early exits recently, ever since, you know, they lose that stunning Elite Eight game, right, I believe, to Virginia, where Virginia goes on and wins it. But Purdue's really good, and Edie's the player of the year. And Smith, Lawyer, and Jones, I say it every show, got so much better in that Purdue backcourt. And with Gillis and Kaufman-Wren as that kind of role four-player stretch, that's a really good five they constantly put out there. I know they got out of the Morton kid. He's not really a scorer necessarily. He can get out there and play a little bit, but I'm talking about scorers and guys that can give a ton of minutes and play impactful basketball. Not that he can. I'm not trying to take a knock, but you get what I'm saying. So I sort it out like this. UConn is the defending champ. They're getting a one seed. We're splitting hairs between these three teams. I'm giving it to the defending champ. Now, the Houston argument is, look at the numbers, look at the statistics. Number one scoring defense, number one in net, number one in KenPom, number one BPI. I'm giving them a little tick off for the non-league. Because Purdue played a great non-league, UConn played a great non-league. And they're identical. And if Houston's point is, well, we played in a better conference, yes, but it's not as much as you think when you're looking at these other two teams. Because Purdue gets everybody's best shot, and you know the defending champs get everybody's best shot. So I stack it UConn, Houston, Purdue. And I'm not trying to knock Purdue, and you could say, well, how do you not have Purdue ahead of Houston? I am a little hung up still on the losses in March for Purdue. I am. And Houston, to be fair, has had a little more success than Purdue has recently in March. So, that being said, I'm going to give Houston a little slight lean as the two, and then Purdue the three. Now, the last number one seed overall, Arizona, Tennessee, UNC fighting for this. And for me, I think there's one answer. And it's been the answer I've had all along. Arizona is the best team out West. 24-7, 8-3 quad one. Fourth in the net in the BPI. Sixth in KenPom. Third in scoring offense. The losses for Arizona: Purdue, FAU, Stanford, Wazoo twice, Oregon State, USC. Non-league wins against Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Alabama. That's a really good resume. Now Tennessee, 24-7 as well. 7-6 quad one. Fifth in the net, KenPom and BPI. Their losses are Purdue, Kansas, Carolina, Mississippi State, South Carolina, A&M, and just most recently, Kentucky. At a conference, they beat Wisconsin and Illinois, two good wins in the Big Ten. Carolina, 25-6. So one more win, one less loss. 7-4 in quad one. So closer to Arizona's record. Carolina 7th in net, 8th in KenPom, 11th in BPI. Losses to Nova, UConn, Kentucky, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and Syracuse. They beat Tennessee out of the league. They beat Oklahoma out of the ACC as well. So I'll explain why it's Arizona for me. And it's very simple. And you say, well, where are the other teams that are going to be ranked 4th? Out of these three, that is the consensus that everybody, you know, when you look up who are the one seeds, you look across, these are the three teams fighting for this spot. When you look across all the, you know, people's stories and when it comes to their predictions and all this nonsense, right? Arizona is the only one out of these three teams that has a fourth in the ranking that I talked about between the net, the BPI, and KenPom. And Tennessee is fifth in all three, but they're not fourth. So, for me, I don't think you could put a team that is fifth across the board as one of the four best teams. Whereas in at least one of these polls, Arizona's fourth. Now, you could be, AJ, you just hate Tennessee. You're just propping up Arizona because you don't like Carolina or Tennessee. Fine, you could say that. What am I supposed to say? But Arizona's the best team out of these three. And they have the better resume. Because, yes, Tennessee played in a good SEC, a very good SEC. But they're 7-6 quad one. Arizona's better. UNC played in a ACC that, again, when we talk about the ACC, it isn't the ACC of old, but it's not the ACC of recent, which has been bad. This one was better, but it's not a great conference as it once was. And you can say, well, AJ, the Pac-12 stinks. You're right. And five out of the seven losses for Arizona are in the Pac-12. So you can say, well, what's your argument there? My argument there is they knew they had to play a not great conference this year, and they went out and scheduled Purdue, FAU, Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Alabama, and won the majority of those games. Now, the Stanford loss, you can't lose that game. Oregon State, I don't think you can lose that game. They did. USC underperformed all season. Injuries, everything surrounding that team. So talented. Any night they could beat anybody. They beat Arizona on senior night, whatever it was. The Wazoo two losses, you got to at least split with them. But Wazoo is at least going to be in the tournament. So when you look back at losing to tournament teams, to me, that shouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Like, we talk about losses to teams all the time, right? But if it's a team that's going to the tournament, that means it's a really good team, no? And you get knocked for that? I mean, if you lose a game you shouldn't lose, we could have a conversation. But if you go on the road somewhere against a tournament team and you lose that game, I don't think you should get necessarily knocked for that. So, Arizona, to me, I think they are the better team of these three. I think they have the better resume of these three, even though they don't play in the best conference of the three, because it's the SEC and Tennessee. They have a better quad one than Tennessee. And even though UNC has one more win overall, Arizona still has a better quad one record and are better in the rankings. Arizona's fourth in the BPI, sixth in KenPom. They have to be the fourth overall one. You can't have Tennessee jump them. That can't happen, right? So that's how I kind of see it. I say UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona. Similar to what they had it a few weeks ago. All right, let's talk some conference tournaments. And the auto bids so far. The A-Sun is Stenson. Longwood's coming out of the Big South. Drake beat Indiana State in the Missouri Valley. Morehead State out of the Ohio Valley. Sanford's going to represent the Southern. Out of the Fun Belt, James Madison. Charleston out of the CAA. Oakland will rep the Horizon League. Wagner won the Northeast. South Dakota State in the Summit. St. Mary's beat Gonzaga out West. Big win for them. Montana State out of the Big Sky. Colgate, the Fighting Toothpaste from the Patriot. And McNeese State out of the Southland. The auto bids so far. So you look at the big conferences. You're in the quarterfinal right now in the Big 12. BYU, Texas Tech. Winner of that game plays the winner, TCU, Houston. And in the bottom of the bracket, K-State with a big win over Texas. And I thought Texas was in. I thought Texas was a lock, but I didn't think they would lose like that to K-State. But K-State takes on Iowa State, who they just beat a week's time ago, I'm pretty sure. Then you got Cincinnati, Baylor, the final quarterfinal in the Big 12. Big East, Xavier, UConn, St. John's, Seton Hall in a big bubble game, Providence, Creighton, Nova Marquette. So it all kind of played out the same way we thought it would in the first round of the Big East. Big 10 is in the second round with the double bye for the big schools. So you got Minnesota, Michigan State in a big game, Maryland, Wisconsin, in that free fall, Ohio State against Iowa, Ohio State. And Iowa could both use that game, so that's a big game. And then Penn State, Indiana, the nightcap in the Big Ten. SEC, second round as well, with the double bye for the big schools. Mississippi State will play LSU. That's a big game for Mississippi State. They need that one bad. Arkansas takes on South Carolina. South Carolina can use that for seeding, I'm sure. So the winners of those matchups will play in the semifinal. And then at the bottom of the bracket is Ole Miss A&M and Georgia, Florida, the cocktail party on the hardwood. ACC's in the quarterfinal. Florida State against Carolina. Carolina fighting for a one seed. NC State and Duke. Duke's a good team, but I don't think they're a championship team. I said that last week. Wake and Pitt, and then BC and UVA at the bottom of the bracket. And the Pac-12, late night. USC will play Arizona, so Arizona gets a chance to avenge that loss, and they need to for their one seed resume. UCLA and Oregon. will play the winner of USC Arizona. The bottom of the bracket is Stanford Wazoo and Utah Colorado. So we could get Arizona Wazoo for a third time. And if Arizona did avenge that, those two losses to Wazoo, I think that would help their tournament chances. So we'll see what happens. But those are the second round and quarterfinal games as we look towards the rest of the conference tournaments and wrapping them up. And then we will have the full recaps and analysis of Selection Sunday on next Tuesday's show. Over to footy, Champions League round of 16, second legs, Barcelona-Napoli was 1-1 after the first leg. Barcelona win the second leg 3-1. They advance to the quarterfinal. Lopez, Cancelo scoring to give them a two-goal lead. Rahmani brought one back for Napoli, but Lewandowski put the tie away. And then Arsenal and Porto at the Emirates. Porto were up 1-0 from a late winner in Portugal in the first leg. Arsenal 1-0. So forced extra time. It was a Trossard goal. It was a scoreless extra time, and Arsenal end up winning it in penalties to go through to the quarterfinal. They had not been there in a long time. So a big, big push for the Champions League trophy for Mikel Arteta and the Arsenal. Atletico Inter. Inter were up 1-0 from the first leg at the San Siro, and they gave themselves a big goal from DeMarco early, but Griezmann quickly canceled it out. So it was the original deficit, Atletico only needing to make up one to force extra time, and it took all the way to the 87th minute for Memphis Depay to level it on aggregate. That forced extra time, no goals in the extra sessions, and then Atletico, the home team, go through 3-2 in penalties. Dortmund PSV was tied 1-1 after the first leg, and Dortmund back home win it 2-0. Sancho and Royce put Dortmund through to the quarterfinal, and Sancho is going to the quarterfinal, and Ten Hag's watching it. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right, so the quarterfinal draw is Friday for the Champions League. Real, PSG, Man City, Bayern, Barcelona, Arsenal, Atletico, and Dortmund. I believe at this point you can get a team in your league. So we could get, you know, a Madrid derby. We could get Barca Real. Could get Barca Atletico. Could get Bayern Dortmund. Could get Man City Arsenal. So be on the lookout for some big, big matchups in that quarterfinal draw when it emerges. And I believe those will be back, not when we come back, but the week after from international break quarterfinal. All right, there was also some midweek prem. It was Bournemouth and Luton Town at the Vitality. Bournemouth went at 4-3. There was three first-half goals from Luton Town. Chong, Abena, and Barkley gave the visitors a 3-0 lead at the break. But then Solanke, Zabarni, and then Semedo's equalizer, and then his winner was his brace. And Bournemouth take the 3 points after Luton were up 3-0. What a game. What a game at the Vitality. All right, weekend soccer preview. FA Cup quarterfinal. Wolves, Coventry City at the Monleu. And this is a chance for Wolves to get to a semifinal, to get to Wembley, to have a day out in the capital. And you got to expect them to. I know Neto is banged up, and they've had their injuries, and they've had guys leave for AFCON and the Asia Cup, you know, specifically Wang. But, you know, Coventry City is a nice story. It's the magic of the cup to get to a quarterfinal for sure. But if you're Wolves, this is a chance to get to Wembley. And then once you're at Wembley, you're 90 minutes, 120 in pens from getting to a final. And then anything can happen in a final, as we know. So Wolves, get the job done at home, at the Monleu. Come out and score, put them away, get the second goal, and have your have your fans going crazy. I mean, it's pretty simple there. Then you got Man City and Newcastle. Newcastle could spoil the City party. Now, they are getting a little healthier, but Anthony Gordon just got banged up, so you don't know if he'll be back and ready for the weekend. But Almiron, Isak back scoring, getting a little healthier in the midfield with Guimaraes, and defensively as well. I think Newcastle will give City a game, but City will rebound after what happened in Anfield. Because they didn't even lose the game, but they got hemmed in. And even when the ball was broken up, they got counterattack. Like, City were on the back foot, and you don't see that often in a season, let alone, like, an entire span of play of a whole game. You know, you might see it in, you know, moments of games. You don't see it for an entire sequence of games, entire, you know, halves of games, you know, quarters of games, whatever you want to call it. But City at the Etihad will bounce back. I do expect that to be high scoring because Ederson is out and Ortega will be the keeper. And he made some good saves, but he's not Ederson, and Ederson's world class, to be fair to him. So Man City, Newcastle, you got to give the nod to City. United and Liverpool, big game at Old Trafford. United could spoil the quest for more Klopp trophies in the last dance with Liverpool. They do play them in the league at Old Trafford later in the season here. So there will be two trips to Manchester for Liverpool, first of this being this quarterfinal, to get to Wembley to have an opportunity to play for a trophy in Klopp's final season after already securing the Carabao Cup. So United, if Højlund can go, they've been a different team. I understand Rashford scored, but it was a penalty. It's not like, and Bruno gave it to him kind of a thing. Like, Bruno's the penalty taker, but you give it to Rashford, fine, whatever. If he gets that saved and then Everton's do score, it's a different story and everybody's cursing everybody. But United were fortunate with the penalty decisions, and they made the most of it. Give them credit. So I will say this for United. They better get ready to run. They better get ready to work their socks off, because this Liverpool team isn't at 100% yet, but the guys that are back are ready to go. You know, you look at Wataru Endo, he's been a game changer in the middle of the park. Szoboszlai's getting healthier. McAllister's been amazing in the middle of the park. And I just don't see how United can match up with that. Casemiro's an aging Casemiro. Kobbie Mainoo's been really good. He's been really good. This could be a game where his youth shows up in that, against that kind of veteran midfield. And I understand they haven't been together for a while. And even that 3-10 and 8 combination that I just mentioned in Liverpool, like, they haven't played a lot of minutes together. But guess what? When they played against City, they looked pretty good. And City's the best team in the world. So that's got to stand for something. And, you know, no Trent Alexander-Arnold still. Some other guys are still injured. Obviously, Jota, Jones. But Liverpool should have enough to go to Old Trafford and find a way to win that match. And I believe they will do that. The last of the quarterfinals, Chelsea and Leicester City. And Chelsea here, they lost the Carabao Cup final to Liverpool. Extra time, set piece goal, arguably should have beat Liverpool with the lineup Liverpool had out there and the lineup that Chelsea had out there. But here you go. Similar thing to Wolves that I said about Chelsea. For Chelsea, sorry. Even though Leicester City, you know, won a Prem and played in Europe and have been a great English franchise and story, they're a championship side. And you're not. And this is an opportunity to go and win a trophy in your coach's first year. And this is the competition that you have to win in, because you're not winning the Prem. You're not in any other this is it, folks. And Chelsea, to me, have been playing better. Cole Palmer is some player. I think Enzo and Caicedo are finding a little bit of chemistry in the middle of the park there. I think Gallagher's been, you know, emerging and been playing better. Mudrick came off the bench and scored a goal. Jackson's been better. Sterling hasn't necessarily scored a ton, but I think he's having a little bit of veteran influence on some of those guys, which is good. So I think they have a lot of it sorted out, and it's a lot of growth that they have to do, and also, like, they have to just get a little better on defense. But if Sanchez could play again, that would be big, but we'll see what happens there. You're at home. You're the bigger side. You're the bigger club. You're going up against a team that's not in your league. Win the game, get to Wembley, and see what happens. Same thing as well as for Chelsea. All right, the EPL games, Luton Forest, that's a six-pointer. Luton have been playing really well. It's unfortunate that they didn't get anything out of the match on Wednesday after having a 3-0 lead at halftime. That's really, really bad. That's poor. That's game management. That's really poor. You're not gonna stay up in the Prem if you blow a 3-0 lead. That's just really, really simple. You know, yeah, there's teams that, you know, compete for big things and can blow 3-0 leads and score whatever. If you are in the relegation fight and you blow a 3-0 lead, you're probably going down. Like, that's a gigantic swing. So here's a six-pointer. Back at the Kenny, back at Kenilworth Road, they welcome in Nottingham Forest, who have been on the side of some tough decisions. I'm not talking about the Liverpool game. Don't give me anything about the Liverpool game. You can't. You have no argument there. You don't. I'm sorry. You don't. Some of the other decisions that I've seen, sure, we have a conversation. But don't talk about that game. Luton Forest, big game, six-pointer. I could see a draw. Burnley-Brentford. Brentford are in a weird, like, kind of slump. They get Tony back. They win a couple. They draw a couple. They play, and then they lose, right? Burnley are going down. Burnley were not set up to come up to the Prem. They were playing a really, you know, high-flying style, the Championship, fine. You can't come up to the Prem with that team and try to make them pragmatic. That's not how it works. Like, you would have needed to get the players, like, you would either have to get a lot of quality and sold a lot of those guys and brought in a lot of quality to play the way you wanted to play, or you had to sell those guys and bring in guys that are, like, veterans. Like, credit to Luton for bringing in Townsend and Barkley, even though I don't think they've been great. They've helped out. They've certainly helped out. But Burnley haven't been good enough. Turf Moor, it doesn't really matter. Brentford got to win that game. Fulham-Tottenham. Fulham have been a really, really interesting side. They've been able to win some big matches, score some big goals, have some big moments, right? And Tottenham are fighting for top four. They just got a big result that could springboard them eventually past Villa into that fourth spot by beating Villa at Villa Park. Like, that's a gigantic result because not a lot of teams go to Villa Park and win, let alone when you're a team trying to beat them for a European spot. So that's a gigantic win for Tottenham. Can they finish off this little run of games with another big win away from home? This in a London derby. I think they can. Now, I think it'll be a high-scoring match because Fulham have scored and Tottenham play high line. They give up goals, but they also score. So this one can get really, really fun. As can the next game, West Ham-Villa. West Ham have been much better since Paqueta has come back. Villa coming off surrendering four and then begin red card. So he'll be serving a suspension. Maybe that opens up their midfield a little more to be creative and less getting red cards, I guess you could say. But I think that will be a fun game as well, West Ham-Villa. La Liga, Osasuna hosts Real Madrid. Getafe welcome in Girona. And then Barcelona travel to the Wanda to take on Atletico after their big win in the Champions League. Both big wins. Serie A, Juve take on Genoa. Hellas Verona play AC Milan and then Inter host Napoli. Bundesliga action, Cologne hosts Rebel Leipzig. Munich travel to Darmstadt, and Freiburg welcome in the league leaders and unbeaten Leverkusen. Dortmund host Frankfurt. Ligue 1, PSG visits Montpellier. Golf and the players, it's a loaded field. Rory, Scheffler, Spieth, Morikawa, JT, Fitz, Day, Keegan, Rose, Matsuyama, Harmon, Clark, Lowry, Scott, Simpson, Cantley, Shoffley, Homo, Hovland, Fleetwood, Burns, Fowler, Wills Zalatoris, Minwoo Lee, Sung J.M., Tom Kim, The Gala, so many players. A lot of great players. Big field, players' championship, big tournament. Smart of them again to get out of the way of March Madness if they were going to do this schedule. Get it done by Selection Sunday. Smart. So it's a big golf tournament. They're coming off a big one at the Arnold Palmer where one of their big stars won. Can they get a good 4 days? Can they get a good Sunday finish? Like, they need it. They really, really need it. And I understand they're going up against Selection Sunday, but they should be able to get some of the eyeballs away from that if it's a really good finish with a lot of great players. You know, if Rory's involved and Scheffler and a Spieth possibly, or, you know, some other fan favorite. So, big, big golf tournament this weekend with the Players' Championship. And we'll recap that on Tuesday. Of course, we will have our full recap to Selection Sunday. You know I go through the seeds and get mad at the committee, so we'll do that segment in the kickoff. Reaction to the bracket, we'll fill it out on Thursday's show. Enjoy the end of the conference tournaments. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy Selection Sunday. Talk to you later. Peace.
Football and Football and Sometimes Other Sports Show. That's the name of it? Guys, check out his podcast. That sounds like my kind of podcast. Football, 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 and Sometimes Other Sports Show. Sounds like me.